Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday, February 22nd, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it's fun Friday again.
That's one word that starts with F I would use. We'll get to that in a minute. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It is a good morning, and it's a good morning because I get to talk to both of you. So the first thing we want to discuss today is Barry Diller. And so a crash course for people who maybe aren't familiar with Barry Diller. Barry Diller was a guy who ran Paramount Pictures for many years, back in the day, we will say. While he was there, Paramount, as most people know, does both TV shows and films. And so while he was in charge of Paramount, they made Laverne and Shirley and Taxi and Cheers, which were also all really good shows. They made Saturday Night Fever, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, just and the Temple of Doom, just to give people an idea of kind of where he was. And then not the news division, but Fox, when Fox became its own network, he helped build all of that and turn all of that into its own network. So not Fox News, but Fox Broadcasting, like just Fox shows like The Simpsons and that sort of thing. That stuff all happened kind of on his watch. He built that. And then when he was done building that, he went and built the USA Network. And he has now come out.
Suits.
Yeah.
Watch Suits.
Well, he's not. He was gone before Suits, but he built the channel that shows Suits, which is the USA Network, and does all of that. So, he has had some interesting stuff to say lately about media, and you would think that somebody with as much perspective as he has, having been at this for as long as he has been, would have some really interesting stuff to say. And, I disagree with him strongly, don't you, John?
Yes, I do.
And what is it that he said?
He was interviewed recently by Kara Swisher on her podcast called Recode Decode. Mm-hmm. And she asked him about the prospects of the streaming competitors, namely Disney Plus and Apple, which I'm currently calling Apple Prime for mm-hmm. lack of another good phrase.
Sure.
And he said some interesting things. He said, Netflix has won this game. I mean, short of some existential event, it's Netflix. No one can get to that level of subscribers. Mm-hmm. And Netflix has 150 million subscribers worldwide, and it's going to take Disney and Apple a long time to equal that. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they can't be successful and make money.
Right.
And so I took his comments as something to ponder and think about. And the more I thought about it, and the more I thought about what Apple's trying to do and what Disney's trying to do, I don't think it's a zero-sum game, and I don't think catching up with Netflix is the goal, and Netflix could stumble. Mm-hmm. What I did was I wrote an article the other day called How Shall We Measure the Success of Apple's Original TV Content?
Mm-hmm. Now,
go ahead.
Well, here's the thing about that is, I remember initially when the iPad was pretty much a done deal, but we hadn't seen it yet. Like, invitations had gone out to some sort of event, and nobody was sure what it was going to be. But we had some pretty solid sourcing on information that it was going to be the iPhone, but bigger. And there's no way they're calling it iPad because that's a stupid name. And that was basically where we were in that point of that cycle. And what I remember about that was people going, why is Apple doing this? It's not going to get them anywhere. Everybody who wants a tablet-style device has a Kindle. And because at that point, the Kindle was just turning into the Kindle Fire, where you had a screen you could read books on, but it would also get your email, basically, was kind of where it was at that point. And I remember saying at the time, like, this is going to be a thing where more people, like, this is like people who are going to get a Kindle are going to always get a Kindle. Like, you know, if you're Team Kindle, power to you. And if you're part of the Amazon ecosystem, then that's probably where you're going to go. But this is going to give a whole lot of other people an opportunity to be a person who has a tablet and uses a tablet and makes that part of their daily technological stuff. So it's not like they're necessarily competing with Amazon for some of the same customers. Some of them they are, but not all of them. And it's just going to make that market bigger. It's not, you know, it's not like, especially at this point, it obviously nobody is suffering. You know, it's not like Hulu has to go close up shop because Netflix exists. And it's not like, you know, HBO now is going to give up and go home, why should I bother if there's Netflix?
I looked at Apple Music. Apple Music launched in 2015 and has grown to about 60 million paying customers. So Apple certainly knows how to grow a service.
Mm-hmm.
So one should never underestimate Apple because of its technical acumen, its resources, its enthusiasm, its nimbleness. It hasn't caught up with Spotify. I found out that Spotify still has 96 million paying customers. So Apple's still in the running. Yeah. But, you know, if Apple.
But Spotify's been at it a lot longer than Apple, too.
Yeah, they started in, what, 2006 or so. So they've had a long time. So Apple shouldn't be underestimated as a competitor. And Apple has a lot of devices out there. 1 billion iOS devices have been sold. I don't know how many are active.
Right.
But they've certainly got the infrastructure. They've got the reputation. They've got the resources.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the ability to roll out a service. And one of the things I talked about in the article was, though, that I didn't think that people would be signing up for the Apple service because of Apple, because of Apple's hardware or Apple's reputation. So Apple has to have some sort of angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sign up for a new subscription service. They're willing to go out and add another subscription to the ones they already have.
Right.
Because it's easy, because it's cheap, and because it has the shows they want.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about MacBook Pros or the coolness of AirPods.
Right.
So Apple has to be mindful, I think, of having an extra special angle, whether that's initially free for some period of time or the emerging sense of the quality of their shows, although Netflix and Amazon produce quality content too. So
they
if
do.
Apple
award-winning,
simply because their shows are high quality, they're going to dominate. They're mistaken.
Well, and the thing that got interesting to me in a hurry about Apple's streaming service is that Apple has always had a good relationship with Disney, and that means they also have a good relationship with ABC. And part of what I figured when we first started hearing about Apple having their own streaming service was like, oh, well, that's where all the Disney stuff is going to go once the rights expire for the other places that are allowed to show it. Like Netflix has a certain amount. And this is before you get to all the Marvel stuff, you know, that Netflix was doing in conjunction with Disney. And then Apple.
Jessica
and then,
Jones, season 3 will roll, but not on a Netflix.
But that's it. Well, that's all they get. Like once season 3 of Jessica Jones is done, Netflix is done with their Marvel shows, which is a bummer.
No, my understanding is that Jessica Jones season 3 will not appear on Netflix, but will still be done, probably air on Disney Plus.
That's my understanding. Okay,
we'll have to check that. We'll have to check that.
Yeah, we'll have to find out because Jessica Jones. But then Disney came out and said they're going to do their own service, and so like the thing that I thought was going to be the obvious hook for a lot of people, which is I get all the Disney stuff if I sign up for the Apple thing, isn't going
to
happen.
Barry Tiller didn't have many enthusiastic things to say about the Disney Plus thing. He thought that he said Bob Iger is a superb executive, but he predicted Disney would only do okay in streaming. Mm-hmm. I disagree because Disney has a whole portfolio of great content for kids. And one of the things that's been a thing in the past in my mind is parents buying libraries of Disney films for their kids to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is just simply an extension of that access.
Right.
So if you got kids, you're probably going to subscribe to the Disney Channel just for your kids alone.
Right.
It's going to do well.
It's going to do okay based on that alone. Like, you know, for the cost of one DVD a month, you could go have access to everything that they put out on the channel and watch as much as you want. You know?
That's their angle, their legacy portfolio, the great animated movies. Mm-hmm. So what's Apple's angle? Right now, we know that Apple's doing good quality stuff, but everybody else is too. So
well, when you think about
Apple's not going to wedge themselves into this industry. Well, that's the question.
When you think about the big existing stuff, and that's usually a good way to get people into something, right? When you think about the big things that people will pay money for, Star Trek is taken. Because CBS All Access is doing that. And
I'm watching Discovery, and it's so good.
Yeah, but
if
CBS
Star Trek Discovery yet? Go to iTunes, buy it, watch it.
But CBS staked it out, so that's on a CBS. That's on the CBS All Access service. So
season two is running on CBS All Access, but yeah. You can get season one on iTunes right now.
Right, but I'm talking about in general. Like Star Trek is locked up. You have to go to a certain place to get that. Star Wars is locked up. You're gonna have to go to a certain place to get that. Marvel is all locked up. You're going to have to go to the same place as the Star Wars stuff in order to get that. And the Disney stuff is all locked up. And so, you know, when you think about like big things that would be a way to sort of reel people in, Apple doesn't have any right now, because as far as I know, Apple doesn't have rights to anything, but they also don't have rights to anything known. Right. So it's not like they're going to get the Disney library.
Is
it's not like they're
really
going to get a couple of movies.
That's an issue to be discussed.
Right, but that's an easy way to...
Can Apple overcome that?
Right.
Or is that a critical factor? That's a good question.
I don't think it's critical, but I do think if you're a new service, then it helps. Because, you know, like, I mean, look at CBS All Access. That's how they sold it to people. We have Star Trek. And the only place that you can get new Star Trek is $5 a month to CBS All Access. That's the only way that you're going to get to see it. And we've
really
seen
that upset
with
me, by the way. That's why I didn't watch Discovery on CBS All Access, because that really annoyed me.
Well,
and I just got petulant about it, and I said, well, I'm not going to watch it until I can buy it on my own terms.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, that's how they introduced people to the service, was we have Star Trek. Right. And so Apple, as far as I know, Apple doesn't have that yet, because Star Trek is a semi-known quantity. Discovery at that point was not a known quantity, but Star Trek was. And Star Trek is beloved,
that's
and Star Trek
Apple
is popular.
That's why Apple has to roll out their stuff for free.
Right.
So that it becomes a known quantity.
Right. So that
people start wrapping their heads around it.
Yeah, so that you get the conversation.
$15 a month from the get-go. This has to be free for some period of time. Brian Chaffin and I disagree. He says 3 months. I say 12 months.
Well, whatever it is, they're going to have to do something, because otherwise they're never going to get anybody to do the kind of stuff. Because, you know, like when you think about some of the stuff that is exclusively on streaming services, when you think about like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or Stranger Things or... The Handmaid's Tale, like there's one each from each of the streaming services. Like people will do the work for you. If it's good, like I'm going to come on this podcast and I'm going to go, holy cow, have you seen, you know, whatever the new thing is. And, you know, like you hear John and I go, Jessica Jones, you should really watch it. You know, and John's over there like endorsing Star Trek Discovery, which is great, by the way. Yes, it's great. I enjoy it very much. But the thing about it is that Apple doesn't have a thing yet where they can go, come watch the thing. We have it for you. And they didn't, and they don't have the established user base like Netflix did when Netflix started rolling out original programming, or Amazon Prime, for example. Prime Video comes with Amazon Prime. So you, for some people, you're just getting that for free. You can buy it separately, but if you have a Prime subscription, then they give you the video and they give you a certain amount of the music that you can just listen to or sample and enjoy. So I'm very interested in where this is going to go. And the fact that Barry Diller would say everyone else should just take their scripts and go home, because Netflix just sounds really tone deaf to me. And
sort of like what Steve Ballmer said about the iPhone when it first came out. I linked to that video in the article.
You know, and you know, people have been right about that kind of stuff, but people have been spectacularly wrong too. And I can't imagine that somebody with his kind of knowledge would be like, yeah, everyone should just go home because Netflix. Like, that just sounds crazy to me. He always struck me as the kind of person who would be like, no, I want to go run the streaming service because I want to go prove all these people wrong, and I want to dominate over Netflix and, you know, flex on them. And
he wanted an additional,
you know,
15 minutes of fame. That's
right,
grabbing for the extra 15 minutes.
Yeah, studio execs, man, what are you gonna do? All right. We have to move on because we have another really important topic that we need to discuss with all of you. And so in order to do that, I'm going to first tell you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Capterra, and Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. So Capterra has over 700,000 reviews of software from actual users of those bits of software. So you can go there and you can find anything you're looking for, because there's more than 700 categories to choose from so that you can help make that decision. So there are great big project categories like supply chain management or email marketing. And there are very, very specific categories that are like optometry practice management or construction accounting. And they have all kinds of categories in between. So no matter what it is you're looking for, Capterra can help you discover it. Here's what you do. You go to capterra.com/TDO for free today, and you can find the right tools to help improve your business. And that's CAPTERRA.com/TDO. Now, our other sponsor today is Edgewise Connect. And, you know, when you join the airport Wi-Fi or maybe the coffee shop Wi-Fi and it shows you that you're connected and everything looks great, but you're not able to actually get anywhere. So Edgewise Connect can help you fix that. So Edgewise Connect is going to save the day because it switches you between Wi-Fi and cellular and helps prevent those non-working connections from messing with your working connection. So if you're on a phone call, or if you're trying to stream some video from one of the services we were just talking about, or even if you're just in your car and trying to use your navigation, then Edgewise helps you maintain a solid connection so that none of that stuff gets interrupted. So they fix this stuff while protecting your online privacy. And not only are they rescuing your internet connection from the edge of brokenness, but they're also rescuing owls from the edge of extinction, because they donate 3% of all of their revenue to organizations that are dedicated to owl preservation. So you can find out more by going to edgewise.app today. And that's EDGEWISE.app. And head there today and find out more about Edgewise. Now, our other topic today happened literally in between deciding what we were going to talk about today and then showing up to record what we were going to talk about today. So, Andrew, tell us about this article over at the Wall Street Journal.
I was going to give listeners 10 seconds to guess what the next topic is. It's either going to be Facebook, privacy, or security.
This is true. Andrew, go ahead and take us through this.
Yeah, so this is a new report by the Wall Street Journal. So not only does Facebook collect things we already know, like personal information, like your location, but now they collect health information from third-party health and fitness apps.
Yay, and give it to Facebook.
Yep.
Like Facebook is collecting this information. Well, what? Whether it's for money or out of the goodness of an app developer's heart, like, this information is going to Facebook. Whether it's implicitly stated in the user agreement or not, or explicitly stated in the user agreement or not. And B, even if you don't have a Facebook account and you don't have a Facebook profile or you've deleted all of that stuff, this information is going to Facebook anyway.
And it's so ironic because just the other day, we were saying, hey, look, Facebook is letting people from insurance companies get access to these secret, not so secret Facebook groups.
Right.
Where closed, people share their
closed
health
groups,
information.
Right?
Yeah.
It was closed groups, not private
secret
groups.
Secret groups.
Or secret groups. Yeah,
secret
whatever
groups.
They call it. Yeah. And if you're sharing, if you are sharing personal, pertinent medical information in a closed group as opposed to a secret group, well, that's on you for not knowing any better. Number one. That was the first thing.
Yeah, they blame the users.
Yeah. So now apparently it's my fault I installed a fitness thing that samples my heart rate once in a while, and now Facebook knows what my pulse is?
It is. It's all your fault, Kelly. You deserve
I'm the
to get
worst.
Your information collected.
I'm the worst, aren't I? Okay, so and this is, like, here was the thing about it is that in one specific instance, there was an app where they spoke to a user of the app who said, I sat down with the privacy policy because I'm giving this app on my phone personal information. And I sat down and read through it to find out what they do with that information. And nowhere in there does it say that it's going to Facebook. And the Wall Street Journal discovered that it's totally going to Facebook.
Yeah, they talked about a specific app by a company called Flow Health, mm-hmm. which is a menstruation checker. Apparently, they just lied during their privacy policy.
Yeah, I don't even know what, like, how. Yeah. And what's interesting to me about this, like I said, the first thing was that it doesn't tell you that it's going to Facebook. And then the second was that you don't have to have a Facebook account for your data to be going to Facebook. So even if you are a person who at some point heard Andrew and I tell you about what kind of shenanigans Facebook's up to lately, and from there you went and deleted your Facebook account, and it's been the 30 days and no, really, you meant it, and now your Facebook information is deleted. First of all, it's probably not really deleted. But second of all, even if you were, suppose you are a person who never even signed up for a Facebook account, Facebook still has this information about you. And it was never at any point made clear to you that Facebook would get it. So we will have some more information about this on the site. There will be a link in the show notes for people to go and look at. And it is staggering to see what exactly is happening here.
Yeah. And not just health and fitness apps. The article also mentioned realtor.com, which mm-hmm. is probably widely used by people.
Yeah.
This Facebook collects location and the price of listings that people buy or look at,
yeah.
And trying to figure out, like, making a note of which ones you mark as your favorite.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're house shopping, Facebook knows about it too. Whether you want them to or not. And that was one thing that they pointed out, at least in the Flow Health instance, was there's nowhere where you can tell it, I'm not sharing my information. I don't want you to share my information with third parties. Like, there's nothing about that. And Realtor.com doesn't have that kind of option either. Like, so, yeah. In fact, it says that the Realtor.com privacy policy never says anything about Facebook. So,
yes. I mean, that's like kind of my soapbox that I've been getting on, is all of this collection is probably included in privacy policies, but they're using the umbrella term of we share your data with various third parties.
Yeah.
Like, we share analytics, mm-hmm. not like they don't call anything out specifically. So we have no idea what's going on.
Right. And, you know, like, I know there were people who sort of snickered when last year, I think it was, Tim Cook gave a speech in Europe and talked about the data industrial complex. Like, I remember hearing that, and I remember there being a little bit of eye rolling and chuckling from people about, like, really, the data industrial complex? But you know what?
Yeah. This is just Apple trying to sell their products.
Right. But hello and welcome to the data industrial complex. Like, if you were doubting it in October, like, you can't still be doubting it now. Like, you have to. Yeah. We're going to talk more about this.
Why aren't these apps being bounced out of the app store for violating Apple's policy on sharing private data?
Because of what Andrew's talking about was third parties, and they're not saying Facebook gets it and Facebook keeps it and Facebook is doing something with it, whether you want them to or not. And, you know, there might be instances where I might be okay with sharing some data with a third party, but I never want that third party to be Facebook.
Yeah, the article goes on to say that Apple doesn't require developers to list those third parties that they share information with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should.
Well, guess what? I really hope we hear something about this soon, because we've seen Tim Cook come out and talk about this loudly, repeatedly. I mean, you know, there was a speech in October. We talked about, we've talked before about how now, for a while, when Apple rolls out new features in hardware and software, they talk about how that data is protected, how, like, what happens with the data that you give it, like Face ID. You know, they spent a long time talking about how that data stays safe and how they keep other apps from accessing that data unless you explicitly give those apps permission in order to use the Face ID data that they have, and on and on and on. And, you know, we've heard him say that privacy is a human right. So does that make Facebook a human rights violator at this point? Because I kind of feel like maybe it does. And it feels really extreme to say that. But hi, 2019, all bets are off, right? So, like, and, you know, we've seen that Apple, like, you know, yanked Facebook's developer certificate for this. I want to find out what's going to happen to these other applications when, you know, once somebody sends this to Tim Cook, says, hi, have you read the journal this morning? Because this is unbelievable to me. Like, I kept reading and I kept not being able to believe what I was reading. And you can tell by the fact that I'm having a very hard time forming an opinion about this and being able to comment on it, because I just keep scrolling down the article and going, oh yeah, there was that thing. I don't even know what to tell you about it. And it's crazy to me that this is what they're doing and that everybody seems to be okay with it. Like, it's fine with me to be an app developer who shuttles all this data off to Facebook. Now, it does say that they didn't find any financial apps that did this. Like, in their testing, that doesn't mean there aren't any, but in their testing, the financial apps that they tried that were, like, top listed in the App Store, do not send anything to Facebook. But was it 6 of 10 or 6 of 15 of the health apps that were the top rated apps in the store? 6 of the top 15 health and fitness apps sent potentially sensitive information immediately after it was collected. So, new year, you're trying to eat more salad, you want to get off your behind and be a little bit more active, and you go enter your weight and you go enter all this information about, like, what you're eating and how long you're exercising and all this kind of stuff. And now Facebook has all that about you. Do you really want Facebook to know that? Like, are you going to just start getting, like, because then what happens, right? Like, what if you do still have a Facebook account? Are you going to just suddenly get nothing but ads for athletic wear? Or, you know, depending what weight you enter, is it going to just start giving you nothing but ads for a weight loss surgery? Like, what is happening with this information, right? And we don't know. And nobody's going to tell us, because nobody can get Facebook to be upfront about anything except, gee willikers, we're sorry.
It's time for another app review on my phone. Start deleting apps that I suspect may even vaguely be sharing.
Yeah, and now I think I will probably have to share a text expander snippet with Andrew so that we can start writing to the apps we actually like and go, hi, I went through your entire privacy policy and I don't see the word Facebook. Does Facebook get my data if I enter it in here? You know, love, Kelly. Because this is important information, and I feel like and here's the thing, is if this is what the Wall Street Journal uncovered by doing this, what do we not still know about what's happening to that data, where it's going, who's using it, what else, right? Because we just keep peeling this Facebook onion, and there just keeps being another layer of, oh, we took your stuff and we gave it to them. Or, you know, Facebook as the income, like, first of all, I don't trust Facebook with much information at all. You can tell by looking at my Facebook feed, there's very little there, and there's a reason for that. And so, like, on top of, I don't want Facebook to have it in the first place because I don't know what Facebook is doing with it. Now there's all these other places that are all sharing it with Facebook. Have you learned nothing? None of these developers are listening to our show, apparently, because otherwise they would know, like, whatever you give Facebook, Facebook's going to do something shady with it. That's basically where we're at now, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm wondering how far people will let Facebook go.
Uh-huh.
If, like, I think John was talking about this the other day. Like, is there a breaking point?
Yeah, where's the point?
Where people will say, yeah, enough is enough, or are we just too all numb?
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of numbness, but I would also like to point out to people that if you have not done a ton of rearranging of apps on your phone, there's this one on your phone, I know because it came with it, and it's this green icon, and it's got this thing that looks like a handset, like an old wall telephone, and if you push that, you can get a live voice chat with any of the people whose contact information you have in your phone. And maybe if we tried that once in a while, instead of just putting stuff on Facebook and hoping everybody else sees it, that might improve things a tiny, tiny bit. That would be my pro tip. Go try out that phone app that's on your phone.
Photos. If you want to share photos and videos with people, just create a private shared iCloud photo album.
Yeah. I have actually set up a few of those for family members so that they can easily view pictures of other family members. You know, the grandkids don't live here, and I want to see the grandkids regularly. So here, you're a person who can see them, grandparents, and parent, here's how you put pictures up so that the grandparents can see them. And everybody's happy with that. And it works really well. And mm-hmm. Apple doesn't care what or who is in those pictures. And it works really well.
We should write a series of articles about those things you just mentioned. How to share photos the right way. How to contact people the right way.
How to make a phone call on your iPhone.
How to make a phone call. How to say hi to grandma. Yeah.
Apple's hidden social networks.
There it is. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Apple, yes, the social networks built into iOS. Yeah. I like it. There we go. I think we're going to have to end it there. Please do go read this article. Please go see what apps you have. If it turns out that you find some app that explicitly does state what the information, you know, that they do give information off to Facebook, or if you see something in a privacy policy that looks really funny and you're worried about what it is, let us know. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can find us on Facebook, but I can't even say that with a straight face. So you can get us via email. You can find us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can leave a comment in the show notes. And none of those will give it, at least on our side anyway, none of those will be giving any of your information to Facebook. And just give us a shout and let us know what you discover if it turns out that you find something that you are going to unfortunately have to delete because it's sending all your information to Facebook and you don't want it to. And maybe if enough people write in about similar apps, we can help you find alternatives to those apps that actually don't share their data with Facebook. So that would be great. We're going to, I look forward, Andrew, to reading your articles, and thanks for coming by and joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And John, thanks for coming by and talking to us about Barry Diller and streaming media.
Thanks. It was nice to be here.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.